Fantastic. What a journey with Jesus. What a journey with Jesus. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, through many valleys and over mountaintops of victory. Think about it. Soul-winning revivals. One of your pastors, former pastor's daughter, Rosie Foster Stevens. Sister Rosie, you guys remember, sweetheart. Rosie's a sweetheart. And I called her last night. I said, "Rosie, I've got good news." "What is that, Pastor?" I said, "We're going to be at Ravenna." "Oh, Ravenna. Daddy brought us there." She said, "I can't remember how old I was." She said, "I started the sixth grade here at Ravenna." She said, "Oh, Brother Cornett," she said, "while Daddy was pastor and district overseer, we had a six-week revival here at Ravenna." I believe that story is repeated over and over many times. But Rosie, she's doing well. She's kind of keeping quarantined a little bit just to stay away from the virus, but a faithful member of the Bernard Ridge Church of God. Hey, your sister church brings you greetings in the name of the Lord, Bernard Ridge. We're just 93. We're just a kid in kindergarten, 93 years old. Bernard Ridge was organized in January 3rd of 1928, and we're just honored to be pastor there, and they greet you in the name of the Lord. But just think about the soul-winning revivals, family and baby dedications, and I noticed a picture I had that you all had of me. I was dedicating somebody's baby, and just think about that. Celebrations of life. Many times bring a loved one here right in front of this pulpit or at Toller's or Lewis Funeral Home, and celebration of life. And what a testimony of Pentecostal praise to the Lamb of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Congratulations, Ravenna Church of God. Give yourself another hand and let's praise the Lord. Amen. This mine? Oh, boy, I like water, don't you? Hey, I was just thinking about some stories, Ravenna, that I kind of caught while I was here the 7 years. Zarita Crowe told me a funny story. I shared it with Pastor Farrell over the phone. Zarita told me when the church was up on the hill, and sad that we don't have a picture or an artist rendering of what it looked like, but I'm sure it's just a shotgun building, no heat or air or whatever like that, just probably a potbelly belly stove. Is anyone in here that attended that church? Anybody in here that was in that? No? Okay. Well, you were there? Okay. All right. Well, Zarita was telling me about and of course I don't think her dad came till later because Jay Muncy was a pastor, I guess. But anyway, there was a service in there, and they were using coal oil lanterns that light to light that, no electricity. And people began what they thought passing out in the spirit, falling out in the spirit. Anybody know what that is? We do as Church of God Pentecostal, just falling out in the spirit. And they thought, you know, man, the Holy Ghost is really moving here. And it dawned on somebody, I think we're, you know, getting our oxygen cut off. Thankfully, nobody died from it, but it was the lanterns were burning up all the oxygen in the room. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Zarita told me another story when her daddy came. Now, I believe that Brother Four was not only pastor, but was state overseer at that time, too. He served, and back in those days, the Church of God was so young that people like John Jernigan, while he was at Pinson Fork, served as state overseer and Brother Four. So they came from Harlan County, came here, and came in an old flatbed truck, moved what they had, and Zarita was just a young girl, and she pecked on the window and asked her dad. They were riding in the back, I guess, and she said, "Daddy, where's the bluegrass at?" Where she was looking for bluegrass. She'd heard about the bluegrass, and she did not see bluegrass, but oh, what a dear saint of God, her and Brother Crow and Sister Four that we'd go and visit. I think of so many. Oh, Brother Rick, I was thinking about your grandparents, Arnold and Pearlie Harris. I was thinking about them. I had never, Pastor Farrell, pastored a couple married as long as they were. I think when we left, if I'm not mistaken, they had been married 83 years at that time. If I'm not mistaken, because when he was 16, she was 13, and they got married. And that is, I've met some married a long time, but 83 years. And they lived, he lived a little longer than she did, but and they knew my father-in-law and mother-in-law from Barnes Mountain that would tell stories of those days. There's a rich heritage here. And, you know, no doubt there's been many times that the devil has put his bullseye on this church. He does every church that preaches the gospel. But it doesn't do any good because of the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now would you, if you can, stand and we'll read the text this morning. The title of my message is A Good Work. A Good Work. When Brother Farrell called me several weeks ago, this was what was laid upon my heart. And with God's help, and if I can get my old flesh out of the way and not mess this up, I want to share with you thoughts from the Word of God and from our Heavenly Father himself. Beginning with verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul the Apostle says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Let me stop here. There's one more verse I want to read, but I want to, this is important to understand the background. Paul's experience at Philippi was not a good experience. He and Silas were preaching, and there was this demon-possessed girl following him every day, saying, behold, these men are, you know, speaking about mighty God. And Paul, his spirit got vexed. He got tired. And one day he turned around and he cast the devil out of her. And she was delivered. And the guys that made money off of her because of her fortune telling got mad and threw them in jail. And you remember in the song, Prayer Bells of Heaven, they were, their backs were beaten and they were in the prison. But at midnight they sang and praised God, and God shook the jail and delivered them out. But think about this. Think about what Paul's saying. He's not dwelling on the negative. He's dwelling on what happened and what was birthed. That girl that was demon-possessed was a charter member. She was delivered, one of the charter members. The jailer got saved and his family, and they became charter members of the church at Philippi. And so while, when he writes back to him, he's not talking about that jailhouse experience. He's saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. With joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here's the heart of the message, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Glory, glory, glory. Father in heaven, we worship you and adore you. Jesus, we love you. You said you'd build your church and you're doing it. And Lord, this second 100 years is going to be more marvelous than the first 100. God, I thank you for these wonderful people that love me and Darlene and took us in for 7 years and blessed us. And Lord, I rejoice in them today and their pastor and wife and everyone, Lord. This church has touched many through the years. Miracles have happened. Souls have been saved. And we praise you for it and thank you. Help me now, Lord, to accomplish your word for every heart in Jesus' name. And would you join me in an amen? Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I do want to share one more very special memory. You all gave us one of the most precious gifts. And it wasn't money, it wasn't material things. But one night in a foot washing service in that fellowship hall, our daughter-in-law could not have babies. And they came that weekend to be with us for Easter Sunday. And that Sunday night, we had a foot washing service. And I tell you, I don't know what it is, but when I get with my men, we have a good time. But down the hall, everywhere I pastor, the ladies cut a shine. I'm telling you, they shout and speak in tongues. Kay Horn was in that service, and you girls, some of you girls were there. But you all didn't know the details of Jennifer's situation. And Kay, I think, started coming around speaking in tongues and praying, and you ladies prayed over her. And 1 week later, can I say it? 1 week later, she called and said, "I've had my ovulation." And in May, this was in April, in May, Jonathan and Jennifer invited us to go down to Atlanta, Georgia, and we went down there, and we went in and waited in the waiting room while they went into the ultrasound. And they came out with a picture of twins. 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 To God be the glory. Thank you. Thank you. You all gave us the most precious treasures. And it wasn't money. It wasn't material things. Well, you blessed us with finance too. Thank you. But you know what? There's more important things than money. Money's going to pass away. But our treasures in heaven are our loved ones and our children. And Caleb and Eli are 15 years old and going strong as can be. Thank you. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hey, there's more to come, church. Ravenna Church of God, there's more God's got for you. So, first point, a good work, a good work. Don't we all want to be involved in a good work? We feel better when we're doing something and we know it's a good work. It's a good work. Well, what is a good work? What does the Bible say about it? Let me just take a little. Well, that's good too. Amen. Well, John 6:29, listen to this. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." If you believe in Jesus, you're doing a good work. Keep on believing in Jesus. Don't you let the devil throw doubts in your mind. Jesus is. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. Can I get a hallelujah out of you today? Hallelujah. Well, what is a good work? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And Paul was talking about Timothy one day to the church at Corinth. And he said, now, if Timotheus come, in 1 Corinthians 16:10, he said, "If Timothy or Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." And then in the letter to Philippians, that our text is found in the body of that letter, Paul talks about another brother. His name is Epaphroditus, who valued a good work even to his own peril. Listen to what he says about him. "Because for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus was nigh unto death." He was about to die. He was in peril. "But he did not regard his life so that he could supply your lack of service toward me." Think about that. Someone who is willing to put their life on the line. Why? Because they know the work they're doing has eternal value. You know, Albert Barnes in his commentary talks a little bit about this good work that is referred to here. He said, this is called the work of God. It's called the work of the Lord or the work of Christ. And Paul the Apostle affirms here that the work was begun by God. God started this work. It was not by our own agency or will. It was on the fact that it was begun by God, that he based his firm conviction that it would be permanent. Had it been the work of man, think about this, he would have not so much as conviction about it or talked about it. For nothing that man does today can lay the foundation of a certain conviction that he will do the same thing tomorrow. If the perseverance of the Christian depended wholly on himself, therefore, there could be no sure evidence that he would ever reach heaven. A good work, and it was begun by God. It was begun by God. Jesus said in John 1, 12 and 13, I didn't give you all this scripture, but we all know this. Jesus said, John says, but as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. He began a good work in you. You were born again. When you give your life to Jesus, it was a good work to believe on Christ Jesus. And when it did, what happened? There was a power from above came down within, and a regeneration from in. And we were born again. We are changed. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that good work. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. In recent years as pastor, I've shocked people. I've had people tell me, and you probably have too many times, sinners say, Pastor, I just don't think I can live a Christian life. And they wait for my answer, and when it comes, boy, it shocks them. I say two words, you can't. You can't. Nobody can. I can't. You can. But John 1 and 12 says, to them that received him, God gives you the power. Aren't you glad for that power that comes from on high? He's the one that gives us the power to be Christians, to be bodies and soldiers of Christ. Nobody can except through Jesus. God gives us the power to live the Christian life. God gave power to this church to survive and to live and exist and be a light on a hill, literally a light on the hill and an example and a witness. And the souls that have been won to Jesus Christ and blessed through the years are added up in heaven. You've been laying up treasures for 100 years, and thank God, God's going to give you even more treasures. Give the Lord a praise for that. Hallelujah. Barnes goes on. He says, the highest good work, this comment here is, the highest good work is to lavish worship and praise upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The greatest good work you and I can do. And we've been doing that this morning, by the way. But you understand, Sunday is the first day of the week. It's not the last day of the week. Some people treat it that way. They call it the weekend. But Saturday is actually the end of the week. The last time I checked my calendar, Sunday's on the first of it, isn't it? So we began the week with what? Worship and praise, gathering together in the name of Christ, and reminded ourselves what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right there in the middle, and we lavish praise on him, and it's the kickoff for the week. It makes our week go much better when we're together in the house of the Lord. Can I get a witness to that? So here's an example of that. And I just said, a good work is to lavish worship and praise upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 26, the account of Christ at visiting in a home in verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. What did she do with it? It was valuable. It was precious. She broke it and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Well, the disciples and the people there were astonished. They were upset. Matthew records that the disciples saw it. They had an indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. We know that Judas was in on that, but Matthew records that all the disciples were kind of upset about that. And what did Jesus respond? Jesus understood it. He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Why? Because she hath wrought a good work upon me. What is that good work? Lavishing praise. He's worthy of praise. David said, 7 times a day will I praise. That's not enough, is it? We ought to be praising him all the time. praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him at noontime, praise him in the midnight hours. He's worthy of the praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God. What about when I'm in trouble? What about when I'm going through a fiery trial? Do like Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed, 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 blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't go wrong by lavishing praise on Christ. That is the most highest work that we can do, and a good work of praise in the Lord. Give him another praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, a good work is a God work. A good work is a God work. Second of all, Paul reminded the Philippians a good work that had begun. When we first place our trust in saving grace of Jesus Christ, he began a good work in you. Philippians 2 and 13, Paul says this, "For it is God that works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God's got a purpose and a plan for every one of us. Over at Bernard Ridge and here and all the churches that lift up Christ, he's got a plan for us. And you know what? It's not been derailed. With all of the crazy stuff going on in this world, isn't it crazy? It's kind of crazy. I was listening to Pastor where Gary and Adriel had attended in Nashville while they were living there. They just moved to Richmond, by the way. They're back home again. Was listening to that sermon last night, and I agree with the pastor. He said, this is a crazy world. When we have people in Washington, D.C. that want to take our guns and weapons away, and then the president gives billions of dollars of weaponry to terrorists. Now, you go figure that one out. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Kind of crazy. But you know what? In this crazy world, God's still on the throne. And Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying night and day. He's praying. He's been in a prayer meeting since he left this world. And he said, I'm praying for you. Thank God. Thank God. God's on the throne. And he has got a good work working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. John 6 and 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him that hath sent me. Paul said to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 through 10, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Can you say amen to that? Paul goes on in verse 6 and says, hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good in this house today. I'm feeling happy in this house. Anybody else here feeling good and happy? Amen. Heavenly places. That in ages to come, verse 7, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works, oh hallelujah, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then Paul says in his letter to Titus, chapter 3, verse 4 through 6, but after that the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ravenna Church of God, let me say this. We are remembering 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We're remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and of our Savior. Ravenna Church of God, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Ravenna Church of God, loved of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're loved of the Lord today? And it is showering his love on you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Third and finally, Paul talked about this good work. And I love this. I think this is so important. It's going to be a finished work. It's going to be a finished work. Let's go back to verse 6 and look at that again. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it. Now, I want you to focus on those three words there. I'm going to go back and retrace that for a moment. Will perform it. When? Tomorrow, Monday morning at 9 a.m., will it be over? Uh-uh. Next Wednesday at 12 noon, will it run out? Will it be? Uh-uh. Will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Until that day. That word perform means to finish. To finish. Beloved, how important it is that we all finish the work and finish well. You know what? The landscape of our country, of America, is littered with unfinished projects. Where we pastor, I drive by several houses that someone years ago started. And they're just shells. Have you ever drove cross country or even in Kentucky or places like that and people are still living in their basement? They never were able to finish the house. I hope there's nobody here living like that. If you are, God bless you and may God reward you to be able to finish your house. I preached a revival up in Ohio just out of Cincinnati years ago when I was evangelist in a church that was in the basement. And they didn't have enough money to finish. They later, good news, they did finish it. And I remember I was so amused by it. Darlene and I were dating then. Hey, by the way, when I dated her, I took her to church. That was our dates. I'd take her to the revivals with me and sing. And then I'd take her out and buy her a piece of pie or something like that. And I remember they had put tire paper over the first floor, which was going to be the sanctuary floor, and they were in the basement, and that tire paper created a condensation of moisture, and you'd be in church and water just be dripping on you. I don't know, the pastor, maybe he didn't believe in immersion and believed in sprinkling. I don't know what was going on there. But thank God later, years later, they were able to build the church on top of that. But this world, it, not only just physically driving by, but this world, there's a lot of unfinished business. America's trying to steer its way away from God and show God we can go without you. And it's getting worse and worse. It's not about Democrat and Republican or independent. It's a spiritual thing. We need a Holy Ghost revival in America. We need an outpouring of the Spirit where America will fall on our knees and will cry out to God and say, God, forgive us, God. Restore us again. Restore America. Restore the churches. There's Brother Farrell, there is one in across America. They have done a survey. One-third of the congregants that were attending before the pandemic has said we're not going back to church again. One-third. You know what dawned on me the other day? The devil has done it again. In eternity past, the devil raked one-third of the angelic host out of heaven, and God cast them out. He's done it again. He's done it again. He didn't do it here. You're here. Give yourself a hand clap of appreciation. You're hanging in there. To God be the glory. And many more maybe that couldn't be here today. God bless you for that. Finished work. It is finished. Didn't Jesus finish his work? Oh, yes, he did. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar on the cross, he said what? Come on now, preach it with me. Say, yes, good job. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. Adam Clark says the words "will perform it" in the Greek means that he would carry it forward to completion. He would perfect it. It is an intensive form of that word, meaning that it would be carried through to the end. The words occur nowhere else in the Bible, nowhere else. And here it means that God will carry on the work which he begun to completion. He would not leave it unfinished. It will be commenced and it will not be abandoned. God will see it through. God's going to see you through. God's going to see you through unto the well done, thou good and faithful. When we see him, we shall be like him. For we will see him as he is. Give the Lord another praise. Hallelujah. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, said these words in the final words of his short letter, verse 24, 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, and be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hey, back in the early 70s, when I was 16, I got hired on at a Christian radio station in Erlanger, Kentucky, worked for the Mortenson Broadcasting System out of Canton, Ohio, Tower of Faith Radio Network. I had a happy time. I was still in high school, and I was majoring in radio and TV broadcasting in those days and in college. And I worked the night shift, especially in the summer, and work all night long and play those gospel albums. There's a song, and I've tried to do a search on this, and I can't find it on the internet. And I can't remember the name of the group. I want to say it was Gold City, but I'm not sure. It's about 70, 72, somewhere in there. But I have the words of that song have hung in my head through the years about the church being like the old ship of Zion. The old ship of Zion. Listen to these lyrics. The old ship of Zion is still afloat. Though Satan may have sent the rain, he still can't sink the boat. The waves may break across the bow and the deck may be soaked, but the old ship of Zion is still afloat. Ravenna Church of God is still afloat. Though Satan may have sent the rains and storms and the winds that's beat upon it and beat at it and the floods, it's on the rock, it's still afloat. The waves may break across the bow and the deck may be soaked, but Ravenna Church of God is still afloat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't you think that's the most important thing? What we do and the labors we do, we're laying up treasures. Till when? Till when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. You think about this. There's no reason why God should begin a work, Adam Clark said, and then just abandon it. He cannot because he has no power. It cannot be because he has no power to complete it. He does have. God has all power, doesn't he? Not just some power or a little bit or 75 or 80%. God has all power. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. Think about this. Adam Clark says there are no unfinished worlds or systems. He created the universe. There's no half-made or forsaken works of his hands. There is no evidence in his works of creation, of change, of plan, or of having forsaken what he had began, disappointed or running out of power. Why should there be in the salvation of the soul? He that began a good work in you. And let me put it on an individual level to everyone in this room today, to all of us, to me too. You may be discouraged and you may be tempted to give up. I have been many times. I've learned early on as a young Christian, that voice is not from God. That's not from God. And the devil, if you've done something, you've messed up, you've slipped up, the devil is, he's an artist at knocking you down, saying you might as well just give up, quit, just don't never go back again. He's a liar, isn't he? Understand this. God wants to finish the work. And if you're discouraged today, I want you to lift up your spiritual head and open your spiritual eyes and look unto Jesus. Get your eyes off this mess. We could be here all day talking about the mess. Facebook's full of it. If you want to get depressed, get on Facebook. Or watch the news. We quit watching the news. Even Fox News. I used to like Fox News. We don't even watch that anymore. I tell you what news I read. I tell you what text messages I text. Texting. God's been texting. God's been texting for thousands of years. Amen. Oh my goodness. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Oh, how patient he must be. He's still working on me. Has God begun a good work in you today? Has God begun a good work in you? Have you come to Jesus for the saving power? I hope everybody in this room is saved, even boys and girls. But if not, right now is an opportunity. This altar's open today. There is no time when is not a good time to be saved. Why? Because the Bible says today, right now, is the day of salvation. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace at this hour? Are you washed in the blood? We're going to sing this final song, Brother Farrell, and as soon as we finish, we'll turn it back to you. God bless you. May God bless you with many more years unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. May you be the final pastor of this church and the rapture take place. Yes. May God find you faithful.
Yes.
Ravenna Church of God, you blessed us. Thank you for your support of us in the little short time we were here. Thank you for loving us. And you never stopped loving us when we left. Do you remember years ago when Darlene and I first got married? This was the first revival after our honeymoon.
Yes, it was.
Brother Moses was your pastor, and Darlene and I was Kentucky State Evangelist. And on my honeymoon, I got laryngitis. And you all were the first revival Brother Moses had scheduled us. And I couldn't hardly talk. I could say Jesus was about the loudest. And Brother Moses, he's ornery. He said, it's Darlene's biscuits. They were messing up your throat. And he was a mess. I love Brother Moses. He's family, by the way. And you all have been good to us. Go ahead and get the... We're going to sing I'm Almost Home, one of my favorite songs. For many long years I've traveled this road. I'm weary and tired of carrying my load. So often I'm tempted by Satan to bow. Oh, but I'm too near home to turn back now. I'm almost home.
I'm almost home.
I'm almost home.
I'm almost home.
I know that my race.
I know that my race is almost run. It's almost run.
Through troubles and trials.
Through troubles and trials.
I've already come.
I've already come.
But I can't turn back.
No, I can't turn back now.
No, I'm too near home.
I'm too near home.
As I stand at the river,
that homeland I see.
That homeland I see. Oh, his beautiful mansion that he's built for me.
That he's built for me.
Just a few days to linger.
Oh, a few days to linger.
Then I'll
go across. And then I'll go across.
Oh, for I know what awaits me.
And I know what awaits me. worth the cost. It'll be worth the cost.
I'm almost home.
I'm almost home. I'm almost home. I'm almost home.
I know that my race.
I know that my race is almost run. It's almost run.
Through troubles and trials.
I've already come.
Oh, but I can't turn back now.
I'm too near home.
Listen to this last verse. When my labor on earth, here I must lay down. I'll go to receive my robe and my crown. It's goodbye to friends that I've known on this way. Oh, but I'll meet you again on that homecoming day. Let's sing it together. We're almost home.
We're almost home.
We're almost home.
We're almost home.
I know that our race is almost run.
Through troubles and trials.
Through troubles and trials.
We've already come.
But we can't.
Turn back now.
We can't turn back now.
We